The pundits keep telling us that Islam will soon overtake Christianity as the world's largest religion. According to them, Christianity is in a great decline. But author Philip Jenkins doesn't think so. His book is called The Next Christendom, The Coming of Age of Global Christianity. And he says that not only is Christianity not in decline, but it's making great strides all over the world. Jenkins told Steve Paulson why American media insists Christianity is in trouble.
I think we have a perception that Christianity is the religion of the world's haves. It's Western Christianity, almost as if that is one word. What people are missing when they say that is that Christianity is doing very, very well in the global south, in Africa and Asia and Latin America. And in fact, it's doing so well there that those are going to be the emerging centers of Christianity. In terms of the proportion of the world's population, Christianity in, say, 50 years should have about the same share of population that it had back in 1900. So Christianity will still, in 2050, say, probably be the world's largest religion. And a rough estimate suggests that there will still be about 3 Christians for every 2 Muslims worldwide.
Now, is this just a matter of demographics, that there are more people in Africa and Latin America, or those populations are growing at greater rates, and that's why the locus of Christianity, the center of Christianity, will shift in that direction?
There are a couple of different trends. One is that Christianity has done very, very well in terms of gaining converts. I always use the example of Africa. Back in 1900, Christians made up about 10% of the population of Africa. Now it's about 47%. In raw numbers, that's an increase from 10 million to 360 million over the space of a century. By any reasonable standard, I think that means that Christianity numerically is one of the most successful stories of the 20th century, though perhaps we'd never get the impression of that from standing in the West. At the same time, the centers of Christianity also have very high growth rates. So it's a combination of growth by conversion and growth by demographics. But the net effect is clear. Probably within 40 or 50 years, there will be maybe 3 billion Christians worldwide. Of those, maybe 1 in 5, 1 in 6 will be a non-Latino white. We're seeing a process that you might describe as the browning of Christianity. Put another way, Christianity is returning to its roots. It's what it was virtually 2,000 years ago, a religion based in sections of Asia and Africa.
Well, this is so interesting because this is not at all the story that we tend to hear in North America. I mean, we hear about how the churches are in trouble, that people are not going anymore. We've, of course, been hearing about the scandals in the Catholic Church, and you'd get the sense that Christianity is on the decline. And maybe that's true in North America and Europe, but you're saying that's certainly not true in other parts of the world.
America has a pretty secular-minded political and cultural establishment, and they tend to see what they want to see. I mean, that's a very common thing. We all do it. You know the old phrase, if I hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes. And this is all the more so because the kind of Christianity which is growing in the global south is a Christianity that they have very little sympathy or understanding for. It tends to be much more based on tradition, authority. It's not a word I like, but it's often more fundamentalist. It's more Pentecostal. And if you don't feel at home with that kind of religion, you tend not to see it. But I'm afraid the fact is that it is there. And that also has quite a policy implication. If you're trying to understand the Roman Catholic Church, for example, Americans are often puzzled as to why the Catholic Church seems so reactionary and why the Vatican seems so out of step with American Catholics. Well, American Catholics make up 6% of the church worldwide. The Vatican is speaking to the bulk of Catholics, the Catholics where the population is growing rapidly, and they're speaking to the 21st century, for better or worse.
So for all of the criticism that Americans tend to level at the Vatican, that it's too hierarchical, too patriarchal, too conservative, you're saying that those values actually do represent most Catholics in the world.
They probably represent the Catholicism of, say, Africa and Asia and much of Latin America. Just to take a particular individual as an example, one of the leading African Catholics is Francis Arinze, a cardinal from Nigeria, who many people have suggested as a candidate for the next pope. If an African became pope, I think many people in the West would celebrate. I think liberals, for instance, would be delighted to see a black pope, and they'd be delighted for about 10 minutes until he opened his mouth. And this is why Catholic conservatives are basically having regular prayers for an African pope, namely this African pope. It tends to be quite a conservative tradition. It's a no-nonsense tradition, and especially on issues which are dear to American liberals, above all things like homosexuality, women's role. So, as I say, this may explain why liberals are not terribly happy with many aspects of the new Christianity.
Now, the Catholic Church is still the single largest church in the world, right?
In fact, the Catholic Church is the largest religious institution in the world. There are more Catholics than Muslims.
But in some ways, I get the sense that the real rise in numbers of Christians around the world is Protestants, Pentecostals, for instance.
It's both. Catholics are doing very well. A lot of the mainstream churches, like Anglicans and Lutherans, are actually doing quite well, though in conservative guises. But certainly the fastest growing strand would be the Pentecostals, one of the most remarkable success stories in modern history. The Pentecostal movement basically began at the start of the 20th century. Today, one estimate says that there are 400 million. And one projection says that they should be hitting a billion by around, the 2040s, by which point there will be more Pentecostals than Hindus. It's interesting that when we had our reviews of the 20th century and we looked at the great movements of the century, we looked at fascists, we looked at communists, but how many of us looked at Pentecostals, a very, very successful movement worldwide?
What happens when Christianity does take root in a continent like Africa? Does it become Africanized? Does it blend into local traditions?
In order for a religion to flourish, certainly it has to take on the coloring of the local society. It has to become African in Africa. And the mission churches that acknowledged this succeeded, and those that didn't withered away. We're actually living through right now one of the great ages of, what shall I say, intercultural contact, fusion in the history of religion. It's happening right now. We're living through one of the great ages in which people are taking the Christian message and putting it into their own hymns, their own poems, their own liturgies. For me, I'm originally a historian. It's very interesting. I've sometimes read people saying, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to see what it was like to see when the Roman Empire was converted to Christianity, or to visit the time of the Reformation? Well, guess what? Buy an air ticket.
What would be some examples of how Africans have turned Christianity into something that really fits their own history, their own traditions?
Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Well, people have never seen vines, so they become fig trees. Jesus says, "I am the true fig." That sounds like a botanical example, but actually it's a very rich example of bringing a culture on board, because a fig tree is associated with continuity with the ancestors. Fig trees are often planted in tombs in large parts of Africa. And so what you're doing is using Jesus as the idea of the continuity with the ancestors. Ancestors are extremely important in African culture. And one thing that many African churches are doing is trying to integrate the idea of ancestors into Christianity. We now have liturgies that talk, for instance, about God as the great ancestor. Jesus is the great ancestor. Through much of Africa, much of the appeal of Christianity is a religion of healing and exorcism and spiritual warfare.
And these are exactly the kinds of things that a lot of Western Christians are embarrassed about. I mean, they know it's in the Christian tradition, but we just assume not deal with that and not talk about that. But you're saying that's precisely the appeal in a place like Africa.
it's exactly the appeal, I think, when most liberal Western Christians read the very, very extensive passages in the Gospels, where, for instance, Jesus is healing or casting out demons. We tend to nod and say, he had a fine understanding of psychosomatic illness. Well, the people who wrote the New Testament probably didn't think that. Sometimes, and this is a very controversial one, but let me give you an example. Many African peoples use different kinds of rituals involving blood, involving, for instance, the sacrifice of a sheep. A Roman Catholic archbishop in South Africa recently suggested that Christian services should incorporate a ritual like this, that they might be prepared to accept the idea of blood sacrifice, which is so extensively justified in the Old Testament, because the people are very comfortable with this. And this ignited all sorts of objections.
Does this raise the question at all of what it means to actually be a Christian if what we see in Africa is so different from what a lot of liberal Western Christians want? It does kind of raise the question, what does it mean to be a Christian?
But I think often the critics of these new kinds of Christianity are slightly missing the point. They're seeing this as, the technical word is syncretism, that is, merging Christianity with older pagan ideas. And often that's not it. What people are doing is taking ideas from the New Testament in a much more direct and literal way that people in the West have done in a very long time. Just to take an example, in many of the Pentecostal churches, concepts like dreams, trances, and visions are taken very, very seriously. Well, where are they getting this nonsense from? Well, read the New Testament sometime. Christianity came to Europe because St. Paul had a dream. He had a vision in a dream. People in, say, an African church or an Asian church read that, and what message are they meant to get? Well, people are meant to get visions from God in dreams. If Western liberals don't get visions in dreams, then that's their problem.
Philip Jenkins is the author of the book The Next Christendom, The Coming of Age of Global Christianity. He spoke with Steve Paulson.